Romans chapter number 1, if you'd like to take your Bibles and turn there, please. Romans chapter number 1. I've preached this message before, but it's been a long time, and I think it's worthy to be preached probably every year or so. I probably shouldn't have, but it just seemed like we've got a lot of things on my mind this morning. My head's not clear. I probably have stayed close to my notes, but a lot of things that I've been trying to plant a field of wheat and haven't quite got it done yet. And oh, we don't have the baby out here, do we? Did the baby come this morning? Okay, well, y'all get around to seeing the baby today. Name is little Braden Levi Yazzie. You get a glimpse of him this morning, probably in the nursery there. I'm glad that he's safe and sound. Had to go back in the hospital tonight there. But he's doing fine, I do believe. So we're glad for that. Anyway, I was telling you that I was trying to get a field of wheat planted, and I just about got it done. And then my sister asked me to go over, and my wife to go over last night to this get-together at the VFW. Normally, I wouldn't go to the VFW because they have a bar there. But this is something different. You know, they had kids and everything, and it was a family get-together. My dad had six brothers, I guess, five or six brothers. Did he have five or six? Anyway, they're one of the few families, maybe in all of Roosevelt County ever, that all of them that were in the Army at the same time. All my brothers were in the Army. My dad, all his brothers were in the Army at the same time in World War II. My dad got out fairly early because he was deaf in one ear. My dad was always deaf in one ear. He couldn't hear out of the other one either. So I got a little bit of that. So see, that's part of my problem, see. But I can hear good compared to my dad. Yeah, he was deaf in one ear and couldn't hear out of the other one. And but anyway, I thought that they were going to put their pictures up on the board, but they wound up not doing that last night. But another family that I'm almost kin to, the Davises. One of my uncles married a Davis girl. One of their father, they inducted him into what they have there at the VFW, the Hall of Fame. They have a little wall there, Hall of Fame. And so anyway, we went over there for that. And when I go to all these kinds of things about the Army and the service and everything, today being Veterans Day, fills my mind up with all of these things about the past, you know. So anyway, just talking here, rambling on. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter number 1. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 15, and I'm going to take verse number 25 as a text verse, and I'm going to title it Changing the Truth of God into a Lie. So beginning in verse number 15 of Romans chapter number 1, and by the way, before I read Romans, is probably the greatest book in the Bible about salvation. Anything that you want to know about salvation, you will find it in the book of Romans. It was written so that a person might know how to be justified by faith. That's what the book of Romans was written for. You're justified by faith. So Paul is writing here in verse number 15. He says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." So God says right there, He says, the invisible things out there, you can see them, and here's how you see them. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power, you can know that there is a God, His eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So people are going to stand before God one day, and those who believe that God has not showed them that He's there, they are going to be without excuse. Verse number 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful." Now there's a trend right here that goes down, And it starts with not being thankful. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. See, God can darken people's hearts. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You'll notice in verse number 25, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You pray with me and for me. Father, we pray to you to help us this morning to be a blessing to your people. Thank you for the privilege to assemble together. We pray that you'd help us to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So we pray that you'd bless your people, and God, help us to be built up in the faith some today. Help me to preach, and I'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So it says here that they changed the truth of God into a lie. In other words, God gives us a truth, but people take the truth, and they change it into a lie, into something that is not true. They pervert it. So that's what I want to talk to you about this morning for just a little bit. They change the truth of God into a lie. Jesus said three times in the New Testament exactly the same words. He said this in Matthew 24, 35, Mark 13, 31, and Luke 21 in verse number 33. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. That's what Jesus said about his words. If God's words are eternal, then we cannot change them. We should not change them. But you'll notice in the portion of Scripture that we read, the word change is used three times. Look in verse number 23. It says, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible beasts and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So God gave them up, he says right there, to uncleanness. In other words, when God gives somebody up, he just tells them, okay, if you don't want my way, then I'll let you go your way, and you can reap the rewards of your way. You will have to take the consequences of what happens to you. And then it uses the word changed again in verse number 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. And then in verse number 26, it says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So people do change things. Turn in your Bibles, and you need to hold your place there, but turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 5. Isaiah, chapter number 5. And it says in Isaiah, chapter number 5, and verse number 8, Isaiah chapter number 5, it says verse number 8. Here is Israel, by the way. This is Israel before they went into captivity. And by the way, it's over 100 years before they went into captivity. It says verse number 8, woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. That's not what I wanted to read, but I think verse number 11. Woe unto them that There's a bunch of woes in here too. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp and the viol, the tabret, the pipe, and the wine are in their feast. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. This is what became of Israel before they went into captivity. And verse number 14 says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And look in verse number 18. It says, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope. Verse number 20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Turn the page there. Turn the page to a chapter. No, turn the page back to the left. I'm sorry. Turn the page back to the left to chapter number 3. I'll read you a verse there, chapter number 3, and look at verse number 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. All right, you can go back over to Romans now, but that kind of gives us an idea of what happened to Israel. And by the way, the Bible says in Proverbs 24 and verse 21, it says, meddle not with them that are given to change. In Genesis chapter 19 and verse number 24 and 25, here's what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter number 19 and verse number 24. I'll just read it for you. Genesis chapter 19 and verse number 24 says this, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. So that's what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Although Abraham prayed for God to spare Sodom, and God would have spared it if there had been a remnant of righteous people. But Abraham prayed and God didn't spare it because Abraham stopped praying at 10 people. There were not 10 righteous people in Sodom, and so God sent judgment upon them. Another illustration in the book of Jonah. God was going to destroy the city of Nineveh, and he sent Jonah there to preach. Nineveh being one of the great Gentile cities of the Old Testament, Jonah was a Jewish prophet, and he preached to that city to several hundred thousand people, and they believed and repented, and God spared judgment on that city for 150 years because they repented and turned back to God. Another illustration is this, that God sent judgment to Israel when they rejected his words. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 19, that they have not hearkened to my words, and they have rejected my words there. And so God allowed King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire to surround them, and he starved them out and carried them away captive for 70 years. That's what happens when a nation rejects God and they reject the words of God. And I don't know about you, but I'm sure you feel the same way. I do not want judgment to come to our land in the form of war or in the form of financial collapse or an attack from within. I want my kids and my grandkids to have freedom and to know freedom like I have known. But our whole country is playing a big pretend game. They are pretending that God has not spoken. They are pretending that God has not said anything. Let me tell you something. If God has spoken on a subject, then that settles it. You cannot improve on what God has said. You cannot change what God has said, no matter the circumstances. They can make laws contrary to what God has said, but that does not make it so. I told you a while ago in Proverbs 24 and verse number 21, the Bible says there, meddle not with them that are given to change. Back in the year 2008, we had a man running for president, Barack Obama. His slogan was something like hope and change. He wanted to change our country fundamentally. He wanted to fundamentally change our country. I don't want our country changed unless it's changed for the better. I want the right people to change it if it's going to be changed at all. But I don't want somebody who has leanings the wrong way to change our country. That's not what I want. But God has spoken the truth. The Bible says that God cannot lie. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2, God cannot lie. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 18 that it is impossible for God to lie. It's not that God doesn't want to lie. It's not that God wouldn't lie because he's God. No, it's this: God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. He cannot lie. Amen. It is impossible for him to lie. God has spoken, and what God has spoken is established truth. But men try to change the truth that God has spoken. They take it and turn it around and change it into a lie. God has spoken on all kinds of subjects. I can't give you all this morning, but I'll give you some. Number one, God has spoken on this. God has spoken on capital punishment. Capital punishment, not corporal punishment. That's spanking. He's spoken on that too, but we won't go over that this morning. But he has spoken on capital punishment. Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 6 is still in the Bible. It is still in force. The Bible says there, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. That's before the law. That's way back there, Genesis chapter number 9. God has put that in force. He has given society the responsibility to put to death those who murder people, those who shed man's blood. I'm not talking about accidents. I'm not talking about even manslaughter. I'm talking about premeditated murder. I'm talking about that kind. But men, that's the truth now. That's what God has said. But men have taken it around, turned it around and said, no, we shouldn't do that. Let me tell you something, folks. The same people that are against capital punishment for criminals, the same people are for abortion, killing the unborn. Same bunch of people. They will kill the unborn who have not seen the light of day yet, but are destined to see the light of God, light of day in a few days. They will take them and pull them out of the womb and rip them to shreds and throw them in the trash, but yet they'll go out in front of a prison and they'll riot out there and say, oh, it's inhumane to put anybody to death. Now, nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to enforce capital punishment. It's not a fun thing, but it's what God has said. And by the way, it is a deterrent. That person would never do that again. You see, I don't even like to talk about it. But these things happen. And so God has given. But see, the liberals and all that kind of stuff, they're against that, you see. But those same people, they wouldn't mind some doctor for a price, ripping a baby out of the womb. They wouldn't mind that. Well, you talk about a perverted mess. That's what that is to me. You see, God has spoken on it. Number two, God Almighty has spoken on the matter of creation. God has said in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That does away with evolution. The truth is, God created all things, but the lie is evolution. Man has taken the truth of God and made it into a lie. And we have a lot of things going on in our society today because of the teaching of evolution. If you teach people they're animals, they're probably going to act like a bunch of animals, you see. But God has spoken on it, yet the whole world has gone the way of evolution. I'm going to read for you Nehemiah that I read in Sunday school. Nehemiah chapter number 9 And verse number 6 does away with evolution if you believe the Bible. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse number 6 says, "Thou, even thou, art Lord alone, sovereignty of God. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee." God made all things. The Bible says our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the Creator. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 16, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." He is the Creator. I saw a video here just a few days ago, and it said, "It's time for all religions to accept evolution." I don't think so. Creation demands a designer and a creator. Nothing evolves. Nothing evolves. You can search the world over, folks. Search the world over. Put some people out there. Have them go out and look and search the world over, and you will find nothing in this world but distinct species. You will not find one monkey, one ape, one orangutan, one anything transitioning, changing into a man anywhere on the face of the earth. You'll not find one man with a tail hanging out, that he used to be a monkey. You won't find that anywhere on the earth. You know why? Because nothing evolves. But yet, they have changed the truth of God into a lie, and they have convinced themselves, and they pretend. It's a big pretend game, folks, that evolution is true. It is not true. I will never accept evolution in any form. The Catholic Church, the official stand, the official teaching of the Catholic Church is evolution. You know why? Because they don't believe the Bible. You know why? Because they're afraid that science might be right and the Bible might be wrong. I ain't scared. The Bible's wrong. It's not wrong. You'll find nothing but distinct species. There are no crossovers. There is nothing in transition. Nothing on this earth is transitioning into something else. You will never see a cow, a half cow and a half horse running around on this earth. I'll guarantee you. If you do take a picture of him, I want to see him. You ain't going to see it. You're never going to see a half dog and a half cat. You're never going to see that, see, because the species can't cross over. But evolution teaches that all life came from a single source. All life came from one thing, one living thing. No, God made distinct species. He made a dog, He made dogs, but there's variation within the species. He made a dog, He made a cat, He made a cow, He made a horse, He made them all. Distinct species, every one of them. The word species in the Bible is kinds. This kind, He made this kind and that kind. He made them all distinct. They don't cross over, it's impossible. Can't do it. But yet they convince themselves. It's a big pretend game. Let's move on. God has spoken on creation. God has spoken, number 3, He's spoken on marriage. On marriage. Genesis 2:24 is the first marriage. God put a man and a woman together. He put a man and a woman together. Turning your Bible back to the left to Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10, verse number 6 and 7 says this. From the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. So there God, from the beginning of creation, made them male and female. He brought the woman to the man. He said, "This is your wife." Genesis chapter number 1, God meant for a man and a woman to marry, to have children, and to raise them, to raise those children. for the propagation of the human race. For the propagation of the human race. I'm going to add a little stuff in on this point right here. God meant for a man and a woman to marry. He did not mean for two men or two women to marry. What if they did that? What if everybody was like that? You know how long the human race would last? Less than 100 years, there wouldn't be no human race. Or in 100 years, there'd be no human race. Sorry, but they can't reproduce. They have to get children from someplace else. That's evil. That's evil. I don't care what anybody says. That's evil. God meant for a man and a woman to marry. I didn't bring my notes, but on June the 26th, Friday, June the 26th, at 8 o'clock a.m. Mountain Standard Time, a little over 3 years ago, the year 2015, it was announced that the Supreme Court of the United States had made the decision. They had ruled that two men could marry or two women could marry. The most conservative man on the Supreme Court was a Catholic man by the name of Antonin Scalia. He was dead a little short time after this. But he came out and he said that the Supreme Court had changed the institution of marriage, which had been in force, he said 4,000 years, but he doesn't know, it's 6,000 years, said that they had changed the institution of marriage, which had been followed for the last 6,000 years, and he said they had absolutely no constitutional authority to do so. They changed the truth of God into a lie. Why is the Supreme Court have any business meddling in God's affairs? God has already spoken on this. Why do they have to speak? They don't have any business speaking about that. It's not a civil institution. It's a spiritual institution. It's in the Bible. And God has already spoken on it. They have no business ruling on it. They don't need to rule on it. It's already been ruled on. God's already spoken on the matter. You see. But what if everybody was like that, see? The human race would cease to exist. God has spoken on marriage. It's between a man and a woman. Amen. And that's all. See, God made a man and he made a woman. He didn't make anything in between. And that's my next point. Number four is that God has spoken on the sexes. The sexes. It says in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 25, which I read for you, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. By the way, the creature there, it says they worshiped and served the creature. Guess who the creature is? That's the man. That's man. So see, it's gone to worshiping man to worshiping God to worshiping man. We think more of ourselves than we worship God. See, that's the big problem. We think we're more important than God. That's not so. Worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them over unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burning the lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. You see, it's a big pretend game. God has spoken on marriage. Well, You can get a marriage license, two men or two women or whatever. You can get a marriage license, but that's just a piece of paper. It does not mean that it's not legal in the eyes of God. But they can pretend that it's so, and that's all it is a big pretend game. Just a big pretend game. God has spoken on the sexes. God made a man. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, he said, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that man became a living soul. You know what he made there? He made a full-grown man, 33 and a half years old. Full-grown man. Later on, he took that man. He put him to sleep. He made a rib. He made a woman from that rib. And he brought that woman to that man and said, this here's your wife. That's where we all came from, see. God did not make anything in between. Amen. This business of transgenderism, it's evil. It is wicked. People can pretend, a man can pretend he's going to be a woman. But folks, There's ways to tell. If the poor guy doesn't know which bathroom to go into, give them some help, you know, if they need it. You know, point them to the right bathroom. There are ways to tell, but they want to pretend. They want somebody to be born, and then you know what they're going to do? Oh, we'll assign them a gender after they're born. I mean, are people absolutely insane? Absolutely, totally insane, folks. That's crazy. You can't do that. They're either a male or a female, and that's all there is. There is nothing in between or outside of that. You see? And no matter how much pretend, I'll tell you how you know is because in order for them to change, supposedly try to change their gender, you know what they have to do? They have to, I don't know if I wrote anything down about that. They have to do it with drugs and operations. That's forcing it. It is not natural. It is unnatural. That is evil. I don't care what anybody tries. You can't change anybody's gender. And if I knew something about this thing called chromosomes and all that kind of stuff, well, that's proof right there. But see, I don't know enough about it to talk about it. So God has spoken on the sexes. All that change and all that kind of stuff, it's like out of the twilight zone. Then those of you who are old enough to know what the twilight zone is. Anybody know? Anybody? One or two of you maybe know what the twilight zone was? God has spoken on that. God has spoken, number five, on Israel. On Israel. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1, 2, and 3 that God called a man by the name of Abraham. His name was Abram at the time. And he told Abram, he said, get thee out from thy country and from thy kindred. He said, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And he says, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. And through him came the Messiah, came Jesus Christ, you see. That nation became the nation of Israel, and that is God's chosen nation. And he made a covenant with those people, and he said, I will give them the land of Israel. The land of Canaan belongs to them. There is not supposed to be. Now, you hadn't heard much about this lately, but for a while back there was a lot of talk about, you know, carving out another nation within the little tiny, tiny, teeny weeny nation of Israel. They have so much little, I think they've got 8,000 square acres of land right now, or maybe it's 8,000 square miles. But see, the Palestinians that live in there want their own nation within the nation of Israel. There should not be any Palestinian nation in the land of Israel. If they want to live there, and they can live there, they are to live under the control of the nation of Israel. Their president right now is Benjamin Netanyahu. He's a good man. He's just not a Christian. I would like for him to be a Christian. I wish he'd get saved, but he's not. But he's a good man. He's a good man. You see, and so God has spoken on that. God has given those people, and that is his chosen people, and that covenant that he made with them about, 4,500 years ago, that covenant is still in force to this day. They don't have all the land that he gave them, but they will have it one of these days. Jesus Christ is coming back, and when he comes back, he is not coming to New York City. He is not coming to Chicago or Miami or Los Angeles. He's coming to Jerusalem. And when he comes to Jerusalem, he'll kick out everybody that's not supposed to be there. He will rescue the nation of Israel from the Antichrist, and he will set up a kingdom there, and they will have all the land. The land stretches from the Nile River on the west to the Euphrates River on the east, and on up to the nation of up to Turkey up there to Mount Ararat. All that land belongs to them, and they will get every speck of land that belongs to them. And Jesus Christ will rule over the earth for 1,000 years of peace from Jerusalem. From Jerusalem. You see, God has spoken on the nation of Israel. That's a very important piece. I've got a book in my little library, and it says, Israel is a deadly piece of dirt. It's a deadly piece of dirt. God has spoken on that people of land. Jesus will come back one of these days. Last, I would say that God has spoken on eternal life. He has spoken on eternal life and eternal damnation. You see, God has spoken, but men try to change things. Men change the truth of God into a lie. The Bible says for us, salvation in this time period, right now, we happen to live in the church age. God has said that salvation is by grace through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God to be received by every person. You're to repent of your unbelief. You're to repent of your self-righteousness. You're to turn away from your self-righteousness and turn to Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior. God sent His Son into the world, and He bore our sins. He suffered and died His substitutionary death on the cross. He has been raised from the dead, and the Bible says He is alive forevermore, seated at the right hand of God the Father in this very hour. He is the only way, the truth, and the life, according to John chapter 14 and verse number 6. He is the way of salvation. There are not many ways. There are not many ways. There is only one way. Has nothing to do with a church. Has nothing to do with the baptistry. Has nothing to do with how good you are or how bad you are. You must come to the man Christ Jesus. The man Christ Jesus. And accept Him as your Savior. And He will give you eternal life. It is a free gift of God. The Bible says the way that you know that you're saved is not by how you feel. But He says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. He gives you eternal life. It's a free gift of God. You know that you're saved because He wrote it down for you. He put it down for you in black and white so that you can know that you're saved and you have it with you right there. Amen. God has spoken, but men change things around to suit themselves. But we are not to change. We're not to change the Bible to suit our theology, but change our theology to fit what God says in the Bible. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please.